guys, welcome to the Years in Between with me, Loretta Maria.
And me, Sister Jerry.
This is a podcast where we talk about our thoughts, feelings, and experiences in the years in between.
Guys, all the other times we said it's hot, we didn't know heat.
We've never experienced heat like today's heat ever before. So much heat that Loretta said, I am so hot, I'm misbehaving.
Like, this is the type of weather.
Instagram girlies, they're still there.
I got you though, girls. I got you though. But it's like, this is the type of weather you actually can misbehave and it's actually okay because this heat is not okay. It's not normal. It's not quite right.
It's not normal at all.
Guys, I was on the bus. Today's worse than yesterday. I was on the bus yesterday going to badminton, which I'll get onto. And I stood there and I was literally like, no one touched me. No one come past me. Like, oh, it just felt like a hot hug.
Yeah, I don't like being touched when I'm hot. Especially when it's humid and hot. Please do not touch me.
Yeah.
That's like, the worst thing.
When you're walking past people on the bus in the heat, walk with purpose and like be so agile. Like,
yeah, I feel like on the train it's worse. Like, imagine, like, I'm standing on the train because it's packed, yeah, it's full because it's after work hours.
Mm.
Cool, I'm holding the pole. Why is someone coming to lean their back on the pole? And we know it's hot, so I can feel your sweaty back. So I'm thinking, that's so disrespectful. Anyways, I just move my hand and I put it, like, above the person's head. Thinking, like, where's your self-awareness? Like, you can feel my hand on the pole. You knew my hand was on the pole, but what you wanted to put your sweaty back on the pole.
Mm.
I'm not an angry person, but that's something that could be angry. Like, in the moment, I'm not even, like, I'm not, like, not an ounce, but I'm not an angry person. But heat?
Yeah.
Heat again.
Cause you to misbehave.
Exactly.
And there was someone else to the left of us that was smoking a vape. Why are you doing that? And why are you doing that, first of all, on the train? And second of all, why are you doing that in the heat?
Everyone's misbehaving. It's misbehavior. It's misbehavior, whatever. Do you like?
Remember the TV show, Bear Behaving Badly? Just given that.
Oh, that name rings a bell. Was it on TVBC or something?
Yeah. TVBC! Yeah.
The tone was a bit off for both of us, Miss Kate.
No. I didn't do this tone. You did the tone.
TVBC. I said for both of us.
Oh, CBBC. And then you did it.
Yeah, but you went, so it
was like a miss. Oh, you did it.
No. I did CBBC.
No, I did not. I did CBBC.
You did CBBC, but I did, and you went, durr. That was a misalignment. Miss Kate.
Guys, but who was it?
No, guys, but the Lizzie line was nascent air conditioned.
That's because it's the newest train in town. Of course, it had to have AC. Yeah, but Bakerloo, Central Line.
All of you people have to get Central Line.
Jubilee, I don't think Jubilee have...
Northern Line. I didn't get back because I had to come here.
Oh,
so I got aircon. But if I had to get the Northern Line back home, yes, or Crystal.
You will be tomorrow.
I'm staying late.
This girl's going to go to work at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And leave
at 9 p.m. Because I'm actually just not going to get caught by the sun. Like, it's actually... I want the sun, but I don't want the heat and the humidity. That's the thing about the UK heat. It just doesn't know how to... Why is the humidity like 60, 50? Bring the humidity down and we can enjoy the sun, but no, you want both.
No, stick to the stuff you know. If you want to be cool, follow one simple rule, don't mess with the stuff you know.
No, stick to the status quo. But yeah, sorry, I cut you off before you were saying something.
I forgot.
I was about to say, I knew you forgot at this point. Sorry,
I did forget. Adding.
Let me see what temperature it is right now because it's actually, guys, we actually love you guys so much because there's a fan right here that should be blowing at us.
But we turned it off.
Guys, it is currently 30 degrees.
30.
Just gone 1 degree less
than I literally stepped outside for what, 5 minutes? And Loretta can vouch for me. I was like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It felt like I was stepping off on a plane in Abu Dhabi, Dubai.
That whack of heat that you get when you step in these places.
And you got your migraine back. She had a migraine. Sorry, I don't know if you want to say that. Yeah, she had a migraine. And then it was like cooling off.
Yeah.
And then when we went, we stepped out.
It's like,
so guys, you see, again, she's here, even though she's not feeling too good. She's a real troop, man.
Gotta do for the family.
Right? You respect that. Okay. But anyway, how's your week been?
My back was getting better. Mm. But for some reason, like, the pain is kind of back. So that's that. But yeah, my week was fine. Just work. Had a conference on Friday and Saturday.
How was it?
It was really good. I was ushering, and I'm not gonna lie, I found it very difficult and challenging. Yeah, but it's been done now.
Made it through,
exactly. Mm. Saturday and Sunday was church, as you guys know. Doing a guest speaker, really good, really entertaining, really funny, and really powerful. But it was so hot at church, like literally really hot in church. Even when we had the ACs, it was just hot air because the windows weren't open and, you know. Mm. But yeah, it was fine. It was fine. Mm. How was your week?
Yeah, so my week, I know what I did yesterday. What did I actually do? What did I do? My week was actually so good. Remember how I told you guys last week that I was going to the beach with my cousins this week? We went, guys.
We went on Thursday.
So good. Like, if you haven't been to Folkestone, go to Folkestone. I've been there multiple times. But this time when we went, like, we thought that the stores that are normally open would have been open because I checked online and it said it opens from Thursday, but it's actually Friday, Saturday, Sunday that they open. But that didn't deter us because it was such good vibes. The drive there, yeah, the AC in my car just suddenly stopped working. And on the M-way, the heat, yeah. My cousin who was in the back, she conked out, is one of them ones that, you know, when you're hot and you're tired, but my cousin who was sat in the front, we were gisting, we were vibing. And normally the directions put me in this certain spot, which every time it's done, but this time it took me to like the other side. And I saw like other side of the beach that I've seen, but like I haven't really seen. And sorry for the screaming, guys, there's some keys outside and we're not about to close the door. But yeah, so that was really nice. We had fish and chips. From a local chippy in the area.
I bet that must have like hit the spot.
Yeah, it was us. Fish and chips always, like, fish and chips is just fish and chips, isn't it? Like, it always does what it's meant to do and exactly what you came to get it for. Do you know what I mean? Both of our cousins that were with me were terrified of the seagulls, and that was very entertaining. Not that they were scared, but the way they were behaving because they were scared, especially our older cousin. She went to throw away her food, but I think she got into her head about the seagulls being there. Keep in mind, the seagulls weren't near her at this point. And I think she saw them flying in her
direction
and she started panicking and screaming, and she tried to throw her stuff in the bin, but like all the curry sauce got down the bin.
Aww.
And she came running to me like I was about to do something for her.
Aww.
But that was so funny.
Do you remember the time we went to Brighton and I had a donut in my hand and a seagull came and literally it happened quicker than
I think I have it on video.
I could ever blink.
But I think I just have you going like
You know the speed in which you blink? Like you literally blink for like that's how
I didn't even realise it happened to you. Like, I just saw her reaction. I was like, what happened? She's like,
literally, I was like,
She lacked. That's what happened.
No. The motion in you picking up the donut and then the donut.
But Brighton seagulls are vicious.
Yeah.
Folkestone, they were giving, like, we're trying to come, but Brighton, they don't play.
They literally, like target.
Like, they're the drillers of the seagulls.
No, they are, because
if the Folkestone seagulls met the...
It was my first... I didn't even have a donut yet. Like, it was going to be my first bite.
I remember her face was so funny.
Imagine that was my only one. Oh,
long day. We would have gone back to get more, because you would have been upset. You would have had that attitude. You'd be like, guys, but like my donut.
But lucky, we got, like, 10 or 20.
I don't know, 15 to 10. It was, like, the mini ones. You know, the little
they
mini
were
ones.
Good.
They were so good.
Did you get them? You went to Folkestone?
No, because the stores weren't open.
Oh.
But we walked along the side, because it's like a side bit where you walk up to the lighthouse and then you go round and it like leads to like the rest of the beach. But we walked along the side and our older cousin was playing Michael Jackson. And it was such a vibe to hear. You know Michael Jackson's voice? And it was just like the waves. Like, do you remember time? But yeah, that was just 10 out of 10, and we were pretending to be Michael. We were like walking and going, and the wind was so strong that, you know, like them footage of him like with his feet, I was just going, yeah. It was crazy. But it was so, so good. What were you doing with Michael Jackson on the day? Was it 2009? What were you doing with Michael Jackson?
I think I came back from school, or it was like, you know when you play outside as a kid and you come back inside? That's what I know. What I remember.
We're just not laughing at his death, guys.
Yeah, I'm not.
Which is, anyway.
Okay, cool. So I'm walking up the stairs now. I hear my mum. I'm like, what's wrong?
What?
Mom, what's wrong? And she's like, look at the t-shirt. Michael Jackson died.
Oh, yeah. that's actually a sweet way. Like, I remember when I went to sleep, I was asleep. And you know, of course, who woke me up? My brother. I was dead fast asleep because our primary school was very close to where we lived. So we didn't have to really get ready and go in until, like, I didn't get ready and go until the last minute. And he woke me up. I woke up quite happy. And he said, to me, this is not a day to be laughing. Why are you waking up smiling? Michael Jackson's dead. And he said, I wish you'd just risen from my sleep and there's kids come on violent. I think he woke me up. And he's like, yeah, today's not a day to be happy. Michael Jackson's dead. This guy was 9, I'm 8. So there's not like a crazy age difference. He's here acting like a correspondent to the incident. I was just like, okay, like, obviously, my dad was like, he loved Michael Jackson too. So, yeah, I remember going to school and hearing like girls saying that their mums were crying in the shower.
Yeah, my mum was crying. I'm trying to think. Because I obviously found out after school and you found out before school. So did I find out on the day and did you find out the next morning? Or did you find out the morning of and I found out?
I found out the morning of.
Okay.
Yeah.
But American
time... I remember it quite vividly, actually.
Americans are behind us, though.
Yeah.
So
it would have come out maybe whatever time in the morning, because news is all hours, isn't it?
True.
At 2:45 this morning.
Yeah, true.
But,
So why did my mum hear so late?
Maybe she been you and like she just had to process, or maybe she thought it was like fake news. Did fake news exist then?
I don't know. But all I remember is coming up the stairs and she's crying. But yeah,
and then yesterday, guys, you know I went. Also, guys, don't mind my hair. It actually did look decent, like nice earlier.
Oh, same.
But it's so hot. I just had to put it onto my head. Like, same. I don't want it touching me. I don't want anything touching me, really. But anyway.
Yeah, my hair was in a nice bun. That had to come out.
It's too much. Yesterday, I went to badminton with my sister and her friends. Guys, I'm in love.
Badminton was really fun.
Like,
I went with my church friend before. It was really good.
It's so good. But yeah, now it's like a weekly thing, so excitement.
Okay, so
we're reading.
Drum roll, please. For such a time as this,
by Shani Akila.
Shani Akila. Oh, I thought that. Whoa,
guys! All the authors of the books that we've read.
Where's our friend Lizzie Damilola Blackburn?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lizzie Damilola Blackburn was the author of Yinka, Where's Your Husband? And as I mentioned in the episode, I've read Honey and Spice, and that's the author's Bolu Babalola, and she's commented on this. Lizzie said, heart achingly beautiful. Bolu said,
a delight.
And then Caleb Azuma Nelson, who's the author of Open Water, which obviously we stopped, he said,
the perfect book for a warm summer's day.
And today is more than warm.
Literally, I enjoyed it on today. Obviously, we didn't finish the book. We obviously have not finished the book yet because that's not how we do things here.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed
it. No, but really and truly, I think next week, can we just finish it and we just come back with questions?
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot to unpack, to be fair, already in the first three chapters.
Yeah, there is. But it's like, it's so good that you don't want to put the book down. It's giving you income.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and guys, it's not long at all. Like, it's literally such a small book, and it's how many pages? 209 pages long. That's like work. You can literally read that in like an hour or two. Like,
yeah. As we know, For Such a Time as This is commonly quoted by Esther 4:14, for such a time like this. As we know, let's say as we know, like three times. But Esther was was an Israelite, I think, and she was with the king. And back in those days, basically, Esther was used to deliver the Israelites, and Mordecai, who was her mentor slash uncle slash spiritual father, etc., he told Esther, for your, who knows that God may have appointed you for such a time like this. Read the book of Esther, guys.
And guys, it's £10 for Waterstones.
Yeah.
But it's like more than on Amazon. But maybe that's the hardback. But I did check the paperback. I don't think the paperback, maybe the paperback's cheaper online. But either way, I got it from Waterstones. Let's go.
So we've read the intro, the commute, goodbye, and Ghana in December. That's what you got to, right?
Yeah, the end of that.
Okay, cool. So we're going to start with intro, the commute. So in the intro,
we basically meet the character Gabby.
What's her name, Gabby? Is her name Gabby?
Yeah.
Just say Gabby.
Unless I've literally plucked that name out of thin air. I don't know who
Gabby is in the book, but I don't think we were introduced to her name.
Oh. Well, I thought the intro was in relation to Gabby because it talks about a girl seeing a guy on the train, and the first character that's mentioned in the chapter is
For Gabby.
But also, again, because since it's read ahead, maybe you have more context that I don't have. So the connection's been made.
Okay, so drift. Intro. It could be Gabby. Maybe it's just me. Like,
no, now she's stepping back.
But
not saying misreading it after she's been read. But the intro, yeah. Sorry, Carol.
The intro. So we're introduced to this female who is just talking about their Christmas break. Not really talking about the Christmas break, but...
No, that's what happened in the intro. Wasn't a good goodbye.
No.
I thought that was...
What? Talking about the Christmas break. She's talking about going back to work after the Christmas break.
Oh, I thought you said she's talking about that. Said she ain't talking about the Christmas break. Sorry, Karen.
She's talking about her commute to work after the Christmas break. She's explaining, you know, what that looks like for her.
Yeah.
Usually she sits down and reads a book, but she had to give a seat up for this pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't read the book. But she notices this man who's reading one of her favourite books. And she's quite intrigued by that. So she tries to
get his attention.
Make a plan to go near him, but she's unsuccessful.
He's so engrossed in the book that he's not looking up anyway.
Yeah. So they both onboarded the train. And
I thought he got off first.
He got off and then she got off after. Like the same station.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they walk. Well, she...
I read this a few days ago, guys, so my brain's a bit...
She dropped something, and in hopes of catching up to him, he was gone. So she was just like, "Oh, forget it." But she went to her next platform, which is the Jubilee line, thinking that he might be there as well, because most people going to Central would go on that line, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Until she does see him, but she's already on the train and he's on the platform.
And he smiles at her.
Which is really cute.
Cutesy, very cutesy.
So that's the first chapter.
And then...
The good goodbye is... now we're introduced to Gabby and Jonathan. And they were together for a number of years.
Yeah, and they broke up. And it's like the whole story of like them seeing each other at the wedding of Gabby's friend.
Yeah, but Jonathan was not meant to be there. He was just like...
He'd just been to a lot of weddings, and it was one of his like boys that's not really his boys like that.
Yeah, invited him. And he was just like, why not? Like,
he last minute decided, and then
to go. And he
saw Gabby, who was his ex, that he very much showed. It's giving that like, is the love of his life that he let go because he wasn't ready to be a man.
Yeah, but you know what really made me like quite emotional? When they were hugging goodbye at the wedding, and their bodies were telling.
I've got a question about that.
Okay, cool. But I also wanted to say, I actually highlighted it. Yeah, they hugged goodbye. They hugged goodbye at the wedding. And when they separated, and it was so sad. Yeah, because when they went home, Jonathan texted Gabby, but he was blocked and he didn't know that. And then Gabby texted Jonathan, but she got the wrong number. She got the wrong number. And
the last digit of the number, guys.
And like that's like a reality that is like.
Very true. Could happen.
It could happen.
The message
is
lost in the ether.
Yeah, it was. They were both sent to each other, but they were lost, and they never received the message.
Yeah.
Each of their messages. Like, in the chapter,
Sorry, Karen.
No, you finished.
No, but I was just like, in the way that it was like, oh, she like blocked him from the moment that they broke up, and she promised herself that she wouldn't message him, she wouldn't da-da-da. But then after seeing him at the wedding, she was like, oh, let me, like, she was like, let me message. She's like, actually, no, let me not do that. And then she tries to go to sleep. And then she's like, you know what? She just sent the message.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, should I message her? Like, oh.
He was driving.
He, like, he kept messaging her, and he threw the phone in the back seat.
I would do that.
But then later on, and then, like,
he was just like, let me
message. He's like, right, let me message her. But then that happens, like, he's blocked.
Because, she doesn't
remember the number.
Because of that, they both said, let's just go our separate ways.
That's the thing, because he was like, oh yeah, but like when she didn't reply, he was like, oh, you know what, it's fine. Like, you just go. And then she was just like, okay, yeah, clearly he's not like on that vibe. It's like, no, they both were on that vibe.
They both were. Such a butterfly effect, because imagine the messages were received.
Mm.
Who would have known what would happen?
But then, because it didn't get received.
Yes. So the chapter ended with it saying, they saw each other again. Him with someone he loved but settled for. Her with someone she also loved but who did not make her heart sing. Now, my thing is, I think wholeheartedly that is a scenario or situation for most couples out there. They're with someone that they love. There's no doubt that they love that person.
Mm.
But as we heard, they don't make their heart sing. The guy settled.
Yeah. By the way, in the book, that's page 25.
Page 25. Like, that's just like a reality that people face. And they wouldn't know that they're facing that thing. Like, because obviously the partner will tell them that they love them.
Yeah.
But in the partner's mind, they're thinking, no, I actually settled for you because there's someone else that I had a better, deeper connection for. And it's just like, why not go for the person that you so love?
Yeah, and
why
it's just
not go for the person that makes your heart sing? Why not take that risk and do that?
The thing is, they both did take the risk, but in taking the risk, they both missed each other by being blocked and the number changed. So maybe it just wasn't meant to be in that respect. Because so maybe sad. It was
but
the
no,
fact...
It can't have me not to be because he settled for her.
No, but I'm saying that because of how it ended, which I'll touch on because I do have questions on it, and how it was when they were together, maybe even though they had such a bond, it was a thing, maybe if they got back into a relationship, it would be remind each other why they didn't work.
But and they were maybe younger.
That's true. People grow and mature and things change.
And like, his body said that and her body responded.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's techie. God forbid.
Being the one that you settled for. God forbid. Yeah, that's not our portion.
Yeah.
Nor being with someone that doesn't make our heart sing. We're not doing that.
Because anytime you bump into them, your heart pitter-patters more than...
The one that you're in love with.
It's not making sense. And not in the way where it gives anxiety, because I feel like, you know, some people say like butterflies and stuff, it's just your body, like your nervous system being anxious about.
Yeah.
Not in that way. And then Ghana in December.
Oh, that was sad.
We meet a new character called David.
David.
Who's best friend. Well, they're best boys from uni with Jonathan.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the stories are interlinked to each other. So, you know what? You may be right. The first chapter could be Debbie.
Gabby. And I feel like Gabby's seen David because, you know why? My theory is the first chapter, Gabby, and then obviously we meet Jonathan, and then we meet David being friends with Jonathan. David's heard a bunch of stories about Jonathan's ex, Gabby, but he doesn't know her name, and I'm assuming he doesn't know what she looks like. And in the first chapter when Gabby, because we don't know if it's Gabby, sees this man and then this man sees Gabby, whatever, they obviously don't know who each other are, but in reality it could be. But that's so
I hope it's not David.
Yeah, because it's your boy's ex-girl, that's weird.
But because they were together for a long while.
But they love each other. Jonathan and Gabby, they literally love each other.
No, I'm trying to say, like, if they were together for a long while, why wouldn't David know what Jonathan's ex looks like?
Because they were together during uni times, I think. So it was given... I don't know if they... Like, I don't know what the dynamic of their friendship... Because I guess really and truly, if you did have a girl, your boys would know that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, so... David, Jonathan, and all of them not decide to go to Ghana. They have like a whole conversation beforehand where they get really deep and stuff.
But we notice that David is depressed.
Yeah, and I feel like Jonathan goes in and out of it a bit with depression because they're both like, they're so tired.
Yeah, but I think that was Jonathan's way of helping David speak about his issue.
But then David, because obviously it's written in David's perspective, David talks, like the way he relays it is as though he's like, I guess, yeah, because like, I can tell that, like, almost like Jonathan wants me to give something back, so he gives him a little bit, but really...
It's half-truth.
Yeah.
He eventually does tell Jonathan what the deep-rooted issue is, and it's that his twin brother died in a car accident when they were younger.
Spoiler. Yeah, and it was the first time he'd seen his mum in years.
So long.
And David had a lot of loss in his life, because he also lost his dad as well, so...
That he had resentment for.
Yeah, there was, like, it's quite... heavy.
Yeah, his chapter's heavy.
And he breaks down, and he really breaks down in front of Jonathan.
Yeah, he hadn't cried for 15 years.
Because the night before, they went to like a part, like an event in Ghana, and then he was very irritable, purely because he bumped into his cousin.
Who reminded him, like, of his flood of memories.
Because the last time you saw him was when he was leaving. After the accident with his brother. So when he saw his cousin, he was just sort of like, after that, he was fine with his cousin, but I think, like, since I said, the flood of emotion. So when he went back into the event, he ended up getting to a bit of a tiff with
someone
random guy.
Someone stepped on his shoe or something.
Yeah, and he was ready to, like, step up to him. And then he started stepping up to Jonathan. And Jonathan was like, yeah, you need to pattern that type thing. So they sorted their thing out. But when they were sorting it out, that's when David released all this information. But yeah, that's, like, basically... the first few chapters. Cynthia knows more, but she's not going to say it because of this thing.
I think you enjoyed the
I know.
The chapter after. Mm-hmm. You read a little bit?
No, I didn't. Oh. I just know what I'm
going. It's so you can...
Me, I'll finish this tomorrow morning. Anyway, I've got questions for both the lovely Cynthia Joey and you guys. Okay, if we could turn to page 14 in our books, please. This is where...
But in the good goodbye.
Chapter of a good goodbye. And...
was it really a good goodbye, though?
There's a section where Gabby and Jonathan... It, like, flashes back to when Gabby and Jonathan had their breakup and they met up at a pub to have a last conversation before it was over. So I'll just read you this little section just to give you a bit of context. Again, page 14. So... Jonathan noted that Gabby had her serious face on. We tried, she continued. We tried so hard again, and it hasn't worked. I think we just need to be cool with that. He sighed, deeping it all. You're right, he lied. He believed that this time they could work it out. He knew what he needed to do. Instead, he locked his phone and put it back in his pocket. Why meet up then? We could have just spoken on the phone, no? Gabby looked at the surroundings, her eyes taking the rundown pub. Closure, I guess, she said with a faint smile, thinking about a tweet she had seen that claimed the C word was in fact a scam. She had come to the decision weeks ago. She had told her girls in the group chat. She'd even written a letter to her future self. And then in her journal that evening, she'd written down Maya Angelou's words about believing people the first time they show you who they really are. She'd agreed in advance there was nothing he could say to change her mind. The question that I had was in relation to the Maya Angelou where she says... about believing people the first time they show you who they really are. Are you a hopeful slash a potential? So when you like meet someone or whatever, we'd be like, oh, not like crazy sense of like, oh, hopefully or potentially I could change him. Not that type of potential, but it's like, you can see like, maybe they're not exactly or ideally what you'd want, maybe in this stage of your life or something. But it's like, okay, we could, you know, we can work with this. Or are you like a realist where it's like, and he doesn't have this, or they don't have this, and you want this, so that's not that, and we're done.
No one is the finished product, I would say. And the only person that could change someone, as you know, my answer is God. So, to answer Larissa's question, I think if I go back to my past situations, or like you have dated, etc., I would go for the realist, like, yeah. The only person I've been hopeful with was my very first ex. And I've learned that, yes, you should take people as they are, the very first thing that they show you, you can trust or hope in their potential, but you shouldn't wait for that potential to manifest, because you could be waiting for an X amount of time and you could be delaying yourself that you love. But I also would like to say that if a person has vision and they're like working towards that said vision, and you can see the action that they've put in plan and there's progression, then I, of course, I would like support and stick around. But if it's vision with no talk, I mean, vision with no action, then I gotta go. I'm deeply out of there.
Speaking of literally just what you said, I saw a post on Instagram that I thought was really like, oh my gosh, I was like, wow. But this could be a very overgeneralization, so don't like quote me or anything. But there was this girl who said something like, "This, I guess, this is in relation to a certain worldwide tip. It was in relation to a certain type of like anxiety or like depression you get. But like, when you have a dream or an idea, and you don't make any actions to step towards that dream or step towards that." Idea that then festers within you, and that feeling then translates into some degree of anxiety, or then eventually may progress into some degree of depression, because you subconsciously know you can achieve this for yourself, but there's some degree of a gap or some sort of, you know, whatever, like dissonance between where you are and where you want to be because of the lack of action that you're like not taking. So when you said that, I was just like, wow, like crazy.
I think I've been a product of that. Yeah.
Why'd you say that?
There's, let me not say so much that I wanted to do, or like there's things that I'd want to do, and you probably know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think I've been like a victim of that. Like, yes, you say you want to do something, but then you get like smacked by this wave of anxiety and fear, and that I'm trying to counteract that by declaring God's word in my life. And like, I don't know, like I think we said it on the pod, but I think I remember saying like, it's better to try than to not try.
Did
I watch something?
I think we did. I think we've touched on that. It's like, it's better to have tried. I think it was when we were here with the cousins. Maybe, yeah. I can't remember. It's like, it's better to have tried and say you've tried than to just, or when Litney was here last time.
Yeah.
Than to just like, I've not tried and not regret.
So yeah. I'm literally telling myself that now. But yeah, I think, yeah, I'm trying to like come out of that, because I've just been thinking lately about the next 5, 10, 15 years of my life, and imagine all of these things that I'm sitting on that I have plans to do, I don't do them. How much would I be disappointed in myself for not taking the leap and doing them?
But I also do want to, like, I guess, preface that. I feel like it is natural to have some degree of, like, nervousness or some, I don't know if it would be classed as anxiety, but, like, some degree of anxiety when you're doing something or, like, actually doing the work to
do your dream
or your idea. But I do think when stuff like that happens, when you're acting or carrying out the actions for you to like get one step closer, you can literally rationalise or logically say, no, but I'm doing this. So even if you do feel that, you can literally be like, oh, no, but I've literally done this.
Yeah.
And that's okay for now. And you're going to do the next thing tomorrow. So,
yeah.
But that was my question. There's a second part to my question, but I think you sort of answered it, because it was like, have you always been that way where you're very much so like, oh, I'm not seeing potential, I'm seeing it as it is, like face value type thing? Or is it a thing where the world has made you that way from experience? But you basically said, I guess you've somewhat always been that way besides your first. So maybe maybe your first one was the one who moulded you to be like, you can't be like that going forward.
Yeah. Because I was a person of like, oh, but potential. But no, like, one could have potential in, it's not even just about life and what they're doing.
Is it potential how like they show up for what you guys,
potential
exactly that
potential for what they show up for, how they show up in in the relationship and how they are towards you, because they could be doing really well in life, but if they're not
showing up how they're meant to,
in the relationship, then what potential am I? I'm leaving off for 5% of it happening, because it may not happen for me, but for sure will happen for the woman of his dreams. So
big facts, big facts, big facts. Okay, if we could turn to page 22. You know, you were saying about the, what was it that you literally just said it, about settling, that bit where you're like, well, this bit for me was like, oh my gosh, wow. So this is when they're at the wedding and they bump into each other again. I'm just going to read like a small bit so you can have context on the bit. So this is the bottom of, towards the mid bottom of 22. They're saying goodbye to each other, and Jonathan says, of course, see you, Gabs, C7 responds. Despite the drowning sensation, forgetting time and space, he reached for an embrace. She reached for an embrace. She moved towards him. He noticed she smelled differently. She felt the contours of his back, the same but stronger. Their bodies still fitted together perfectly, like a mosaic, complete. They both felt it, the electric current that ran from him to her.
We were kids, he said without words. I can imagine the hug being like, like, very regretful.
Yeah, like, needed, but like, very courteous at the same time. It's not too much, because we're not what we were.
Yeah.
But it's very much a recognition of what was.
Yeah.
Sad times. We were kids, he said without words. Her spirit heard and replied, you weren't there when I needed you to be.
So she probably was trying to let go.
But it was also like, because the way she goes on to the next bit, which I'll mention in a sec, but, and then his responded, no one taught me how to be a man.
The group reciter.
That doesn't say that, but that's what's in his mind. No one taught me how to love a woman.
He ran his fingers like down and
out. No, that didn't happen.
Or maybe he ran his fingers like this.
No, this is very much so a hug. I feel like they're just hugging and they're holding each other, but they're just having a, they're obviously having a men's conversation. But he's not doing all that.
No, but come
on. He's not doing all that.
Like, no, come
on. They haven't seen each other in, what, 5, 6, 7 years? And you're telling me he's running his hand, his hand down her neck? What do you mean you're doing that for?
No, okay, not the neck thing, but, like, let's say you're hugging. Mm-hmm. It says, like, him saying we were both kids. Mm-hmm. I can imagine the hug being, like, he's hugging her, like, as tight as he respectfully can.
Yeah, but,
and then she's saying no, we're kids. She's, her body's like kind of, you know,
trying,
and then he's just like, wait, no one taught me how to be a man. Like, no one taught me
she's
how to be
really
a man.
Put stages to this hug. I think they're just like embracing, like they're embracing, they're embracing like a familiar, I can't say that word, familiarity, like in the hug, but it's like mourning, but it's also like, oh, I'm seeing you for the first time in so long, but it's not like this whole like, but I guess everyone envisions it differently. You have to ask Shani, that's no. And it's like their bodies were two halves, and then she says, see you, John. So then my question to all of you guys is, I guess more so, it's very much on the focus on the bit where it's like, you weren't there when I needed you to be, and he responded, no one taught me how to be a man, no one taught me how to love a woman. So I'm asking, do you think if someone wasn't there for you, but also wasn't taught how to love, is a good enough reason to give another chance? Or to, like, you know, be like, oh, he wasn't taught how to love a woman, but now it's been however many years? Or do you think same book, same ending?
Obviously, one would pray and ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, because, can't really answer. It's quite a hard question to answer. I think if it wasn't taught...
In this stage of your life...
I have people in my life that didn't receive the love that they needed when they were growing up. But because I have knowledge of that, I still give them the love that they need, despite their behavior or actions. But that's a family member. I think with a romantic love, it is quite hard, because I don't need to be like the receiver of this failed love that or this empty love that you're trying to give. But I'm assuming this person would be in Christ, so it won't just be me, it'd be the Holy Spirit helping them give the love that they need to give me. So I think I'd be like kind of gracious and kind of like patient, because love is patient. But I think if they're codependent on me, or I don't know, they don't they don't give love at all. If they're, I don't know, if love is not in their nature, then I don't think I could be there.
I think a lot would have had to have changed, because, like I said before, the idea of, like, are you just setting yourself up for the same ending that you had before but in a different form? And nobody enjoys a breakup. Nobody enjoys, like,
I saw a clip today, and it was from Pastor Meerkat, 9 Degrees, I think they're formally called. But it was a clip that said, one of the guys said, I think heartbreak should be in, you know, sicknesses and illnesses at work.
No, valid. I feel like
if someone's going for a heartbreak, it's valid for them to pull in sick and 100%. Say they can't work because their heart's broken.
100%. Like, you can't think straight. You can't eat straight.
He was weak because
emotionally, like, you actually can't, because it's just like,
you can't.
What the heck?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, I definitely think it's just something where you have to be, like Cynthia said, very patient. And I think you have to look at, like, both people have to be healed.
Yeah.
Because
two holes.
Yeah, because there can't be any sense of like codependency to the point where it's like you're acting out in a certain way in response to being triggered or triggering someone because you feel like you're not being met for a certain need. I just think, yeah, it's very much so healed people potentially, but definitely time would have had to pass in order to even think about it in that way.
The conversation of like getting back together would have to be like a hard, honest conversation.
Intentional with genuine.
But it can't be
PoA plan of action now.
It can't be a emotional sort of conversation like, I still have these feelings, you have these feelings, let's get back together, because then unfortunately the cycle could repeat itself.
Yeah.
But if it's like a intentional, hard, honest,
obviously there's gonna be emotions, but it's like not the
that shouldn't be the drive of the car.
100%. Yeah, it's a lovely answer, Cynthia. I'd love to hear it. But yeah, so take people for who they say they are and who they show you that they are. Because like how we said last time, you have to listen with your ears, because look at how people behave and how they treat and how you feel or how they make you feel. And then secondly...
Yeah, that's in how they are in a relationship. But separate to their life, if they've got a vision and they're working towards that vision, you do you, sis.
Thanks. But and then the other point that we like touched on was
if you recognize that someone has the inability to give love, it's up to your patience. And
the time that you have.
Yeah, the time that you have
to waste. I'm joking.
If you can support and encourage and be patient with them during this time of their life.
And if you're both healed.
Yeah, if you're both healed, then definitely.
Do that.
But again, who are we? We are not counsellors of the world. Listen to us or not.
But that's it, guys. We'll see you. Have a blessed Sunday. We hope you're enjoying your day.
And the heat, girl.
I hope it's not hot by then, please. Oh my gosh. I hope future me is just not dying in heat. Why is she looking like she knows something?
No. Everyone says I've got like a suspicious face.
I agree.
Can't a girl smile?
That wasn't smiling that you were just doing this then.
No.
It was giving some sort of discernment that you didn't want to share. But yeah, have an amazing week, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye!
Should we leave that one on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I look back to dying this podcast. No way!
Pretty chill. Nothing.
Your friend has something to say. What you gonna say with a girl?
You leave your man at home. The club is full of bars and the bucket full of fun. And all your fellas, you go with your friends. Cause it's another daddy and the club is jumping.